This episode may contain explicit language. Welcome to Care and Feeding, the show where we parent together. I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the family travel blog, Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom of three littles, Henry who's 11, Oliver who's 9, and Teddy who's 7. We live in Tokyo, Japan.
I'm Zach Rosen. I make another podcast. It's called The Best Advice Show. And I'm dad to Noah, who's 6, and Ami, who's 3. We live in Detroit, Michigan.
I'm Jamil Mew. I'm a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding parenting column, and mom to Naima, who's just about 11, and we live in Los Angeles.
Today on the show, we're talking about what to do when parenting gets a little too loud. A member of our Slate Parenting Facebook group posted recently asking about earplugs, and it got us thinking about all the parenting sounds we love and hate, and the coping strategies we use when it all gets too overwhelming. Later on, we're also going to recommend some things we're loving right now and think you might too. And then, if you're in the Slate Plus Club, we're talking about parenting tasks that someone somewhere should be paying us to do. Here's what you'll hear if you have Slate Plus.
I'd also like to get paid for getting my daughter to school on time. And I think we would be better at it if we were incentivized in that way.
Oh, I like this. I think incentivize the parents to get them there on time.
Let's do it. Let's do an experiment. Financially. I bet it's been done. It's interesting.
I actually think that's a good idea.
Because tardiness is widespread.
I think you should propose that to your school.
I'll be the pilot.
A one-person pilot program, Jamila. If you're not listening on Slate Plus, we hope you consider it. There's no better way to support the show. And when you're a member, you also get ad-free listening on all Slate podcasts. Sounds great, right? We think so, too. Go to slate.com/careplus for more info. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll see you back here in a minute for our listener question. We're back and diving right into today's discussion about cutting through the noise. This all started with a question from the Slate Parenting Facebook group. Gattel asked, "Hi, I've seen the ads for Loop earplugs, Calmer, and others, and I'm wondering if they really work. I'm an introvert with two chatty youngsters and a teen piano player. I'd love something that takes the edge off the sound while still allowing me to have conversations." This one is near and dear to my heart because I think I have recommended the Loop earplugs. They're the only ones I've used from this list, but I do get all the ads for the Calmer and things like that. Mm-hmm. I am a huge advocate of the Loop earplugs. Like, I used to wear the regular ones, but you can't hear anything. Like, I don't
wait, can you just, because I had no idea what this even was. Can you tell me what this even is?
Yeah, okay. So the Loop earplug is a, it's first of all very cute. They're very, very cute. But it's an earplug. It's not like a foamy. It's like a, it almost looks like an earbud that goes in. But they have one that cuts out all the noise, like a traditional earplug. But they have these other ones that just sort of turns the world down. It just dampers out the background noise. So I wear these a lot when we're traveling in somewhere noisy, but you can still have a conversation and hear people around you talking. It like almost doesn't take out the talking wavelength. It just seems to take out that background noise. Or if kids are like screen, there's a lot of play, it like tones it down. So I feel like I can wear them in the house when there's a lot of noise and I would still know if something bad happened or if someone was talking to me. But it just kind of turns everything down.
Okay. Amazing.
I'm looking at the Loop website now. First of all, they're very cute. They almost look like some sort of earring when they're in your ear. And
yeah, they totally are.
They have like a round and they come with three different like things so that they fit your ear.
Mm-hmm. And they've also got different ones. They have some for kids, but they have one, the Engage Plus, which is specifically advertised for conversation, noise sensitivity, social gatherings, and parenting. And it looks like they have different settings, so you can, you know, turn them up and turn them down.
I use the ones, they have no, like, mechanical, they are literally just, they look like an earplug with the pretty, like, ring. So they go in and out, and they come with a little carrying case, which I like. And actually, I have one for all of the kids, too, that I take with us. They don't usually wear theirs in the house, but like when we're traveling, sometimes they will be places and the noise is just too loud. Like an amusement park, I have two that just can't do the noise at an amusement park.
Yeah.
And these just turn it down so they can still hear everything. It's just not as loud.
Yeah.
But I mean, calmer is something similar. It has a different shape. So I think it's going to be more about, like, in terms of using them, I find them very effective. But which ones to get, I presume, you go read the reviews, they probably all work. It's just a matter of what feels more comfortable in your ear. To me, yeah, these fit inside your ear more like an earbud, but the circle that sits outside is way more comfortable than, like, the like a stick or something, you know, from the wireless headphones that go in your ear. But I know for me, when the noise got too loud, I just found that I was like a worse parent. And so this enables me to just kind of turn that down. Like I would physically feel agitated at just the amount of noise. I mean, there's, you know, three children, and particularly when we were homeschooling, it was like in the morning it would be fine, but then as the day went on, that plus maybe music or the kids working on something would just become so much that I couldn't turn myself the background noise off. Some friends have told me they can actually just like kind of zone it out. I don't know if either of you can like turn off the noise in your head. I can't do that.
Can you, Jamila?
I can. Yeah.
I think I can too, to a certain degree, or at least it just doesn't bother me as much. Like Ami, in turn, there are moments throughout our lives when he's just like too loud, like he's viscerally impacted. So I totally get that, you know, some people are just more sensitive to it. It totally makes sense, and I'm really glad to know about this technology. It's kind of fascinating.
Yeah,
I feel like I can't hear myself think. Like there's literally no space left in my brain to hear myself, and then that somehow makes me feel very agitated. Like I can hear all of the noises, even if I'm focused. Like I cannot focus because all I can hear is what's going on somewhere else.
Yeah,
and these just seem to help my brain receive less noise. I don't know how it actually works, but I think if you're feeling this way, they are not that expensive that you should give them a try.
Yeah, it looks like they're $35 ish.
Yeah, and I feel like you can hear. I think what they're worried about is blocking out too much noise, and I definitely can carry on a full conversation. In fact, when I wear them out in public, a lot of times people don't know that I have them in, because if we are at a big crowded place and I need to focus on something, I almost always put them in. And I would say the people around me don't notice at all.
Yeah, I have it's like an alternate strategy, or just like I totally can understand how it's overstimulating with kids around, and I'm wondering, and I was just thinking about, is there a way to kind of harness that overstimulation and like turn it into something that's more bearable? The other night the kids came home, we went out for pizza, the four of us, and we got home and the kids were just like wired, and just like it was almost time for bed, and they were just like bouncing off the walls and jumping around and saying poop a lot, and just like, you know, just like they were just like in wild mode. And at first I was like, ugh, like, all right, come on guys, let's like calm down. But then Ami, on his own, he got out the karaoke machine, which we hadn't used in a while. And we kind of like brought the energy just to that activity. And we all like just sang a song together, or everyone did a song. Everyone did their own song. And it kind of like helped to mitigate the overwhelm. Like when we turned it into something that, in the end, it was just fun for Shira and I too. So like, I get that, but I don't know. I was just thinking about like, how can we recalibrate, you know, in the moment? And it's hard to do. And I think we just got lucky the other night.
No, I think that's a good point, too. Like, is the problem that you're not meeting, like, that they need a high energy release? Or is the issue that you can't function? And I think the answer is somewhere in the middle, right? I like the idea of turning this high energy thing into, like, maybe we all just need to burn off some energy and we can meet them.
But there's a totally time and place for the loop. I can't take this right now, too. I'm not saying, like it's one or the other.
During karaoke time is also an okay place for the loop.
There you go.
Like, I feel like if we got out the karaoke machine, I would get out my loop earplugs. Not so that I couldn't participate, but so that I could participate.
Great.
In a way that doesn't make me, you know, feel like
I think part of something that the letter writers should think about, because they mentioned that they're an introvert and they have two chatty youngsters and a teen piano player. So it seems like they're not just overwhelmed by sound, but also by maybe the amount of engagement that the kids require, you know, well, one, talking to your kids about volume, you know, obviously there's only so much that can be done with the piano player, but your two youngest, you know, like, remind them about their indoor voices, you know, and be serious about that. Like, we don't have to let kids be loud. Like, you know, like, they just don't have to be loud. You know, it's something that they have to unlearn. And also maybe having, like, a coloring book or a crossword puzzle, in addition to having your loop headphones, like having something that brings you some calm, you know, so when you're feeling just a little overwhelmed by all the kid interaction and they need this, they need that, you know, like obviously you're still paying attention to them and meeting their needs, but you're able to kind of pull away to yourself and just do something that is relaxing.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because earplugs are not going to calm you down. They're going to remove some of the stimulus, but they're not
right,
they're not unfortunately magic.
You know what else makes kids bearable? Weed.
Amen.
It also just turns everything down.
Turns everything down. Like going to a lab, I would imagine this parent probably have a challenge going to a kid's birthday party or Dave and Buster's, you know, somewhere that's just super loud. Just have a little edible, microdose a little something, you know, before you go. And hopefully it'll bring you a little peace. It'll bring the volume down. Unless you're one of those people who, like, weed just intensifies everything for them. In which case, I'm sorry for you, because it might make things louder.
Yeah, I agree, Jamila. And I think it quiets things down and makes life more fun. It makes you just like more willing to do the dumb kid shit that like you can forget is fun. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I really have respect for people who can access that inner child without needing weed. But it definitely helps me too, for sure.
I think so.
And I like that the weed block has finally explicitly come out. Jamila and I are the weed block.
The weed block.
The weed block. Of care and feeding.
Listen, I'm game for whatever gets you through.
Earplugs, edibles.
Earplugs,
whatever orifice you're going to stick it into.
Whatever. Whatever it takes.
No, I just think, like, the idea that all of this is, like, supposed to be okay, you know, that we live in these big families and the kids bring their personalities and their noisy toys and their, like, like, even if we ask them to be quiet, like, life with children is just kind of more stimulating. Like, there's just so much. And I think for a long time it was something we were just supposed to, I don't know, I felt like I didn't know there was anything other than maybe hiding in your closet that you could go to you know, just like take a minute, regroup. And so to be like, hey, there are tools out there, and what tools you use is up to you and what you're comfortable with, and you know, your situation. But there's a lot of ways out there, I think, to just turn down life just for a little bit without being totally out of it, you know. All right, listeners, well, what advice do you have for this member of our Facebook group, and how do you deal with big noises caused by little humans? We would love to know. Please send your thoughts to careandfeedingpod@slate.com or leave a voicemail, 646-357-9318. Or go find the post in the Slate Parenting Facebook group. However you do it, be sure to reach out with your feedback and questions. You never know, we might share it on the show. We're going to take a quick break and see you back here for recommendations. All right, let's move on to recommendations. Jamila, what are you recommending?
Okay, so I have two recommendations, because we're supposed to be doing recommendations about things related to parenting, but I have one that's unrelated to parenting that I just think is so good. I just have to share it with you all. It's a book called The End of Love, Racism, Sexism, and the Death of Romance by Sabrina Strings. And it just came out like a week or two ago. And she talks about like the origins of romance as we know it in the Western world, and how it was kind of always designed to leave women of color and poor women out of the equation, and how in modern times, black and white men, she talks specifically about black and white men, have responded to feminism by withholding romance and love from women, and how their, you know, inability to cope with capitalism and the societal structure that we have puts them in a position where they are punishing women. And it's just really, really fascinating. So it's a quick read too. Very, very good. And then I want to circle back to a recommendation I know I made a couple of years ago that I just think is great. And it's having a book for your child's quotations. I have a couple of them, and I wish, like, God, I definitely have gone, like, a long time without updating it, and I wish that I'd written down more. I know I have some on my phone I need to add, but I've been keeping this. I have a book of quotes from Naima dating back to when she was 5.
Give us a random one. Just open up to a random page and give us some.
Okay, yes. I got a good one. Okay, this is from September 2021 when she was 8. Mom, have you ever had red velvet cake? Naima, no, and I do not plan to have it during my childhood. Now, when I'm a young adult, I might try it.
I love it.
So, and I was, we revisited this. I've updated it recently, and we went through and read some of those quotes. She has tried red velvet cake.
Logistically, how do you manage this? Do you carry it with you, or?
You know what I was doing when I was filling it out more regularly? I have the notes app on my phone. I would just put the quotes there and then later the record transfer. Them in the book. Yeah, but I keep the book on a coffee table, you know, so it's always accessible.
Does Naima know about the book? Like, is it part of her? Like,
oh, yes, yes. She, like, because, like, she'll say something and I'll be like, excuse me, I'll be right back. She's like, where are you going? I'm like, I'll be right back, you know, and I come back with the book. And there have been a few times where she's been like, and put that in Naima quotes.
There should be something where she can now just, like, go pick it up too and just, like, add to it directly.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's, they have a treasure. A book where, because I was doing the, like, I think at some point you recommended the book that it's like 5 years of quotes or something. And so, like, each day you write one thing or something like that. So we were doing that. But then I found one as they got older where they answer a question every day. And so I just leave that on the table and they don't really follow the dates. They just open it and write it. But they've found some, because they can all write now, written some very cute things in there. Like, asks a question and they write it, and getting to see what they wrote the year before. And their little handwriting. I think these are, they're so good. They're hard to, like, keep up with. So I like the idea of, like, putting it in the notes right when it happens. And then,
yeah.
I love that.
That's great.
Zach, what are you recommending?
I am recommending the 1991 delightful, I would call it a classic, Father of the Bride. Have you two seen Father of the Bride?
Not since 1991, but I've seen
exactly. Yes, Jamila, this is what I wanted to talk about. It came out in 1991. I was 7 years old. First of all, for the Nancy Myers heads, of which I consider myself one, she co-wrote this with her ex-husband, Charles Shire, and he directed it. But then she goes on to direct a bunch of amazing movies, including It's Complicated, which I love. But I was 7 when this came out, the same age as the Kieran Culkin character, give or take. He plays the much younger brother to the bride and the young son to Steve Martin and Diane Keaton. And I realized, like you just said, Jamila, I last saw this through the eyes of this kid, through the eyes of a 7-year-old, through the eyes of someone so far removed, not just from having kids, but from like falling in love, from anything having to do with being a parent. And so seeing it now, I looked it up. Steve Martin was 45 when, like, of course, he still had the gray hair then. But, like, I am 5 years younger than Steve Martin now revisiting this movie. And I completely saw it through his eyes now. And, you know, through the eyes of the father, of course, it's absolutely devastating and incredibly, you know, amazing for him to have the experience that he's having of literally reckoning with the idea that he is no longer the primary man in her life, and that she loves someone else. So they deal with that dynamic, which I had no appreciation for in 1991, really beautifully. I think Diane Keaton is, I wouldn't call her criminally underused, but like, it's Diane Keaton, and she's just kind of like a little two-dimensional. And I think she could have been so much more rich with just a little more. But that's a small gripe. Father of the Bride for our generation now. It might be interesting if you haven't seen it, like Jamila and I.
Where is it streaming? Is it streaming?
Yes. Where is this? Hulu.
Nice.
Yes. Elizabeth.
I'm recommending these window clings that like make rainbows all over your house, and they're lovely. I don't know if you guys ever had, like growing up, we had like a little, you know, crystal, I think it was at my grandmother's house, that hung and would make rainbows in the window. But these are window clings. They just like cling to the window. They're renter friendly because they are not actually stickers. They come in a variety of bizarro shapes. We have the circles. You can get cats, you can get hummingbirds, butterflies, mushroom, there's everything. But they really work. Like, we gave these to the kids, I think, as part of Christmas, and have put them up all over the house. And they are constantly causing delight. Like, we just find random rainbows now. Our house is darker here than our one in Colorado. And so it's a nice just kind of reminder when the sun comes in, it throws rainbows all over. And we can move the stickers and kind of find where the sun is coming through. But they're really beautiful. So if you're looking for something simple and easy to bring yourself some joy, get yourself some rainbow making window clings.
Oh, cool. So Noah's going to love these.
Fun little whimsy. Yeah, they're perfect for like a small... Also, there are so many in the pack. I want to say, I thought there were going to be like two. But so enough to like put them all over your house.
Yeah, it looks like this one I'm seeing is a 35 pack.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many. Nice. I also like to think we have a big window in the front that they're also keeping birds safe. I do not know if they work for that, but since they're up on this big glass, I feel like maybe also now the birds can see this glass. So
great.
Anyway, something fun.
Literally saving two birds with one sticker rather than killing them.
Exactly. Not claim, not verified, but in my head, so far, no birds have flown into the giant window. I don't even know. Do I have birds here? I don't know. I have not seen a lot of birds in Tokyo, so who knows? But, you know, give it a try. We always want to hear what you're loving, listeners. So seriously, be sure to reach out and keep the conversation going. And that's our show. Please subscribe, leave a rating and review, and tell your friends. This episode of Care and Feeding is produced by Maura Curry, with special thanks to Rosemary Belson. Shasha Leonard is the voice of our listeners. Alicia Montgomery is the VP of Slate Audio. For Jamila Lemieux and Zach Rosen, I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. Thanks for listening.